on my heart that I thought I'd touch on tonight is linked with the Genesis portion of scripture that we're going through. Something that Michael said towards the end when he talked about God giving man free will. And the whole purpose for man being created. And these are things that are very much at play in Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 4, especially those first two creation stories. And how in this second creation story, the word that is repeated, and not only repeated, but it's repeated in the heart of each of these three chapters, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. And in chapter 2, the word is at the very heart for the reason of man being created, and that was in chapter 2 and verse 5, that there was not a man to till the ground. And that's the word the ground. And that word is translated also earth, dirt, the ground. Something else that Michael said, which is important, is a distinction between the word created and made. Very important. We believe that God created ex nihilo, out of nothing. God spoke, and it was. But you make a serious error without distinguishing now the use of the word made. Because now, though we find the creation of man in Genesis chapter 1 on the sixth day, we find here in Genesis chapter 2 that verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So now you have creation, and now God taking that creation and making something out of it, organizing it, forming it. Man was not made out of nothing. Man was made from the dust of the ground. So the word ground here in chapter 2, at the heart of the theme of chapter 2, which is the creation of man. And then, when you come into chapter 3, you have the fall and the effects of that fall. Man, being given free will, man was created with the capacity to sin. That is part of what it means to be human. A horse does not have the capacity to sin. A gorilla does not have the capacity to sin. Man has the capacity to sin. So now man sins. God gives him free will. When God created man, what was the purpose of it all, ultimately? What was the scheme? What was the reason for God creating human creatures? The answer to that is in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read it for a minute. Ephesians chapter 1. Because Ephesians chapter 1 is giving us what God ultimately had in mind for the creation of man. I'm biting off more than I can chew in 20 minutes here, but the Lord help us and bless us from the wonder of his word, the wonder of the riches of his grace. It says this, verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Who's the us? Believers, Christians. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. In Christ, according, this didn't happen till thousands of years after man was created. But this happened after the coming of the Lord Jesus, the incarnation of the Son of God, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven. And when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of Man. He's a human being. He wasn't incarnated to be God, you know. Always was, always is, and always will be, and has always been God. He became flesh to become human. And in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after his sacrifice, the payment for our redemption, there is a Redeemer. Now God took him, raised him from the dead, and not only raised him from the dead, but took him in his human form, bodily. Human still, and exalted him to the highest place possible, beyond the universe, alongside with God himself, so that humanity in the person of Jesus Christ has been raised to the highest possible place possible. And the head of this new human creation. This is new. Never existed before. This new man, the head of this human race, is Jesus Christ. And in him, every redeemed personality is seated there, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the wonder of what God has done with man. And it boggles the mind. And here in Ephesians 1 it says, blessed be this God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's all in him. Why did he do it? Well, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in Christ before what? Before the foundation, before the creation of the whole universe. That's what was in the heart of God before the creation of the universe. What was the universe created for? And this earth created for? Why did it have to be created? Because it was the needed thing that was absolutely necessary in order for God to accomplish this purpose that he had in his heart for the creation of man before the foundation of the universe. Let me ask you something. Why didn't God create us sons and daughters in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2? Well, you see, you can create creatures. You can make them human. And you give them free will. And that free will of the creature is so distinctly human. It's God-given. God will never violate that free will. God himself will respect your free will for all eternity to come. God himself, who loves his creatures, will suffer the eternal loss of those creatures who exercise their free will in rejecting him and the Redeemer that he has provided for their salvation. And for all eternity to come, God will respect every human creature's free will. Why couldn't God create you as a son or a daughter? Because when it comes to God making human creatures, he makes them however he wants to make them. He didn't ask your permission. In fact, you were a creature before you knew you were a creature. And one day, you woke up and you realized you existed. You'd existed before you realized you existed. But one day you woke up and you became conscious of the fact that you existed. And you had a will. And you were a human being. You were born. Well, some of you in Ukraine, some of you in Portugal, some of you, well, not as blessed as I was to be born in Cuba. But you know, God has his reasons why you're Ukrainian, why you're Portuguese, and why you're blessed to be a Cuban. The point being, I didn't ask to be a Cuban. God makes his creatures any way he wants. But when it comes to being a child of God, the Lord Jesus himself, the Redeemer, was very clear when he spoke to Nicodemus, and he said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh and will remain flesh forever. And that which is spirit, and will be spirit forever. And unless a man is born from above, born of God, he will never enter the kingdom of heaven. God makes creatures, and he makes them however he wants to. He's the sovereign creator. He doesn't ask our permission. But when it comes to a human being becoming a child of God, that will never take place without that creature exercising his or her free will to become a child of God. You hear it everywhere in the world. We're all God's children. That's not true. That's a lie. We're all God's creatures, but we're not all God's children. And the Lord Jesus was very, very, very clear on that. And John chapter 1 will address it. And John chapter 1 addresses it this way concerning the Lord Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is specifically referring to his fellow countrymen, the Jews. But it also has application to all men, because he became human. Didn't just become a Jew. He was a Jew. But he was a Jew when he became human. And the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But here's the exercise of free will by the creature. But as many as received him, to them gave God the power to become the sons of God. You can't become something you already are. I can't become human. I am human. I can't become a creature. I am a creature. But to become a son of God is to become something I am not. And here's how a creature becomes a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Who? Those that believe. An act of the will to believe on his name. Now watch verse 13. Which were born. Not of blood, nor is sons of God aren't born of beings that have blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Sons of God are not begotten, are not born by the will of the flesh, by religion, by works. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. A human being cannot give you new life, eternal life, cannot give you the life of God. The only one who can give you the life of God is God himself. And so, how does a person go from being a creature to becoming a child of God, becoming something he is not? As many as receive the Lord Jesus, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, begotten of God. How does that happen? Where a creature becomes a child of God. It's all in Christ, by Christ, by coming to Christ, by believing on Christ. Oh, be careful with your religion. Dangerous, deadly, man-made stuff. Catholicism, Protestantism, Buddhism, all of it. Satanic through and through. Satanic through and through. There's only one way to become a child of God, and that is to be born of God. And the only way to be born of God and go from being a creature of God to being a child of God. Well, how did you become a child of your parent? You had to be born. How do you become a child of God? Well, you can't be technically created a child of God, because it requires your choice, your will. So that's why God, in Genesis 1 and 2 and so on, created man. Wonderful, the human creature. But oh, that which is flesh is flesh and will forever remain flesh unless that creature comes to Jesus Christ and personally receives him. And when we do, God himself imparts life, eternal life, and we are born of God. Not by the will of the flesh, nor the will of blood, nor the will of man, but begotten of God. Wonderful, isn't it? So we're back to Ephesians 1, and there it says, God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him or in his presence in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And this is the will of God, that every human being believe on Jesus Christ, his Son, whom he has sent. And the promise of the Scripture is that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and become children. The adoption is by Jesus Christ. In other words, when a person comes to Jesus Christ and believes on Jesus Christ, that's right. God now begets that person. But we got to be careful here. And part of the reason we have to be careful is because, see, time goes by. Prince Charles is now King what? King Charles. Prince Charles is now King Charles. Okay. Why is he King Charles now? Why is he King Charles now? Yeah, but before that. He was what? Born. And now, when he was he born king? No. But the moment he was born, he was heir to the throne. Heir to the throne by birth, by birthright. That's what we are as begotten of God. We are, well, this is Ephesians. We are heirs of God and joint heirs. But you're not reigning yet, my friend. But when we do reign, we shall then reign as full grown sons of God. That's the key. Absolutely. So this is the, and this is again back to the importance, and I want to be careful with my hobby horses. But you know, when you all you do is point back to the conversion and you know, the shed blood and convert and you lose sight of the whole purpose of upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Let every man examine himself. Let every man stand up like John had to stand up in Revelation chapter 1 and face the Lord Jesus. In life, submit to his disciplines, submit to his rebukes, his trainings, his corrections, and grow up And thank God, even in Ephesians 4, it tells us this in this terminology. And let me read it and stop. He that descended, that's Christ, is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some, that's Christ in heaven, he gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers in the body of Christ. These men with these gifts are given by the risen Christ to his church, which is his body. Verse 12, for what purpose? For the perfecting, or for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all grow up into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a fully grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, newborns, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceit, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. And so, what have we been predestined to? To adoption of sons. What does that mean? That does mean that every child of God, everyone who comes to Christ, has been predestined by God to be conformed to the image of Christ. So that in that sense, God, who loves his Son, the only begotten of the Father, and God's immeasurable and unquenchable pleasure and satisfaction in his Son. God wasn't satisfied to just have one. But in his Son, he has begotten millions upon billions of sons and daughters who will be like his Son and in his presence for him to have and enjoy as sons and daughters for all eternity to come. Anyway, I got to stop. But I couldn't get back under the ground. In chapter 3, man sinned, and what comes in is, cursed is the ground. At the heart of chapter 3, the ground. And when you come into chapter 4, you have then the horror of free will. And that free will exercised by a man named Cain, who refused God's redemption. And when he refuses God's redemption, now the very reason why man was created, to till the ground, now Cain is cursed from the ground. Horrible, isn't it? And the punishment was so overwhelming, which is eternal separation from God. The loss of the reason why God not just created man, but created the universe, the ground itself. For out of it, oh, what a harvest he has brought forth in Christ Jesus. And Cain, for all eternity, will live and exist. I can't call it life, but he'll exist knowing he is forever cursed from the ground itself. We must be born again. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast made it available to all. For God sent his Son that he might be the Savior of the world. And God gave his Son to be a ransom for all. For God's desire is that none should perish, but that all men should come to his Son. Father, if there be any who have not come to the Son, forsaken any other hope, everything else, and realized that every spiritual blessing of God is only in the Son and having personal relationship with him. We thank thee, Father, that the Scripture says, whosoever in that sense shall put his trust only in the Son and call upon him shall be saved. Passes from death unto life, and that creature is now begotten of God as a child of God for all eternity to come. We give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus.